AgriTalk is brought to you by the NRCS Conservation Stewardship Program, which cost shares more than 150 practices on farms and ranches. Visit your local service center or farmers.gov today.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip Flory. Hey, Davis, let's make time for Yields in the Fields.
Yields in the Fields on AgriTalk is brought to you by Micro Essentials from Mosaic, the science of more. Discover our proven products. Text YIELDS to 31313.
Chip, this morning we're checking in central Minnesota, Candiohee County.
Yeah.
Where they say harvest is moving along quickly, yields running a touch above average, and moisture is lower than usual for this time of year. Once again, we're finding some lower moisture than expected.
Yep. Good stuff. Good stuff. Who's that brought to us by?
That's brought to us by Mosaic, that's Yields in the Fields.
All right. Thank you very much, Davis. Let's get to the conversation now with Dr. James Mintert, ag economist and director of the Purdue University CME Ag Economy Barometer. Jim works with Michael Langemeyer there at Purdue University to put this thing together. Jim, welcome back. Glad that you are here. How are you?
Very good. Thanks. Great to be back, Chip.
Jim, there's interesting movement all over the place in this month's update, the October update. You know how we normally do this. I normally try to pull something out that I think is most interesting. I'm going to back away from that routine a bit because I wonder what you think is most interesting from this month's update.
Oh, you know, I think one of the things that's really interesting is the fact the index was down. The Ag Economy Barometer was down 10 points this month, and that leaves it about 16% below where it was this time last year. And this month, we went back and kind of looked at the barometer itself relative to where it was when we started collecting data in 2015, towards the end of 2015 and 2016. Yep. And the barometer is slightly higher than it was then, but not much. But when you make the comparison to farm income, there's a dramatic change. Net farm income averaged over 2021 and 2022 compared to net farm income averaged over 2015 and 2016, we're up about 40%. And yet the barometer is hovering, I guess, at levels that are pretty close to where we were in 15 and 16. So it's pretty obvious that the weakness in sentiment we've seen the last roughly year and a half now, approaching 2 years, isn't really about income. It's about uncertainty, risk, concern about, you know, having these large dollar investments in crops going into the ground and the risks that we'll be able to cover or not cover those costs. Uncertainty about, you know, what it costs to buy machinery. You know, people continue to tell us the number one reason for not thinking now is a good time to make an investment is just the price of what it costs to buy new farm machinery. And yet in the backdrop of that, people are still doing stuff, right? They're still buying tractors.
Yep.
Every farmland auction we hear of says farmland values are at record highs, certainly in the Corn Belt. And yet we're picking up this anxiety. So people are doing things. And, you know, to some extent, it probably depends on who you are, what level of equity you are, what size of operation you are, you know, when you made your sales, et cetera. But there's just a tremendous amount of anxiety out there, I guess, is what I think we're picking up overall with the barometer.
Right. that was the most interesting thing that I saw well, maybe not the most interesting thing, but it was very interesting that here we are right back at the base. You've got the the overall barometer is at 102. So I'm, like you said, hovering right there at the base, the current conditions index 101, the future expectations at 102, and matching up with what we saw 15-16 is basically what it means. Now, what does that tell us about the barometer itself, Jim? Because it seems to me that what it does is it removes some of the noise on the outside and really gets to the core of how farmers are feeling about their situation today.
Well, I think this is probably what you're saying, Chip. It's a sentiment index. It asks people, you know, how do you feel about these issues and financial issues or health of your farm, both current and looking ahead, health of the ag economy, both current and looking ahead. How do you feel about making big investments? It's how do you feel, which isn't the same thing as asking people to take a quick look at your income statement, take a quick look at your balance sheet, and then tell me how you feel. Those, right. those really aren't exactly the same thing.
That's
and,
right.
You know, we're picking up a lot of the same things that are showing up in the consumer sentiment surveys, right? People are very anxious about, you know, what's taking place with inflation. Well, for farmers, it's about consumer inflation. They're worried about that, but they're also very concerned about the cost of their inputs. And of course, ag inputs have gone up more rapidly, much more rapidly than consumer items. And so that's kind of a double whammy for ag producers. And then, you know, it's in agriculture, we're always having to make investments and make decisions that are just not for the current environment, but longer term. Mm-hmm. And this uncertainty has made that really, really difficult. And then
right.
I think for the folks that are not stepping in and buying farmland, for example, you know, the yeah. people that are not active bidders at those farmland values, I think that's probably creating some anxiety for them, thinking about, well, how could I expand because I can't afford to pay those kind of prices? I think what's okay. taking place, you know, we haven't seen much data yet with respect to cash rents for 2023, but our preliminary indications are cash rents are going up for 23. And you're thinking, gee, how can I compete in this environment when people are, some other people in our business line are actually apparently able to outbid me. And I think that creates some additional anxiety on the part of the folks that maybe are not the active bidders at the cash rent auction or not active bidders at the farmland auction.
Right. Interesting. All right. Just to wrap up this part of the conversation with Jim, if you are wondering exactly how the current environment compares to 15-16, and I'm taking this straight from the barometer's report, USDA estimates indicate that U.S. inflation adjusted net farm income averaged across 2021 and 22 is more than 40% above the 2015-16 average. So you're right. It is sentiment going forward that we're looking at.
Chip, let me hop in here for one second. Can
yeah,
I do that?
Yeah, go ahead.
But before yep. we get off the land values and the behaviors within the market here, Jim, both the short and long-term farmland value indices rose on the month. But interestingly, fewer farmers chose non-farm investor demand as the primary driver for that rise, rather choosing inflation as the reason they expect to see values rise. That feels like a significant shift.
Well, it looks like it when you look at the chart. And I guess, yeah. you know, I have to admit, Davis, we don't know exactly what to make of that. So yeah. to put that in context for the listeners, last month, 62% of the people in the survey said these are only to the people that think farmland value is going to go up. 62% of them said it was because of non-farm investor demand. This month, that dropped to 47%. But the percentage who chose inflation as their top reason last month was 22%. This month was 35%. Wow. And I guess the part that's difficult there, Davis, is how do you disentangle non-farm investor demand from inflation? Because if you think about non-farm investors, perhaps one reason why they might be in the marketplace is because they view farmland as a hedge against inflation.
Right.
So I guess my real answer to you is we're going to keep asking this question and see what happens over the next few months and see if we see that change over time. Because
yeah.
I kind of view those, and the one reason we have both of them in there is because we kind of view that as sort of a joint product. But, you know, the inflation side could be a hedge against inflation for farmers, not just non-farm investors. So,
okay. Jim, there's some really important stuff that we need to get in here. We've only got just a little over a minute yet. Take me to the farm policy portion of the survey that you did. Give me some of the highlights.
Yeah. So, you know, in thinking about the possibility of a, you know, new farm bill in 23, we thought it'd be useful to ask some questions. And I guess the surprise was, when we asked people about which following policies or programs will be most important to my farm in the next 5 years, 36%, the number one choice, was interest rate policy.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was surprising. Crop insurance came in high, and that was what we kind of thought would come in number one. Crop insurance came in at 27% of the people in the survey choosing that. But interest rates are definitely on people's minds. They are very concerned about that. The other things that we had in there came in much lower. Environmental policy came in at 16%. Conservation and climate policy were essentially tied in the 10 to 11% range. But interest rates, a little over one third of the people in the survey said that was their number one policy concern going forward.
Does it surprise you that you got that there was such a high response to the effectiveness of the ARC County and the price loss coverage programs, given the current reference prices compared to reality?
Well,
that was too big of a question with such little time.
Yeah, we had 72% said they were either somewhat effective or very effective. And I think people are probably looking back on it from a historical perspective.
Okay.
I don't think they think that keeping those prices, especially the PLC prices, where they're at is a good idea.
Jim, we're out of time. Jim Minter, Purdue University. Thanks, buddy.